If you aim at nothing, you will hit it with amazing accuracy.
There's a proven process that's working for people. I'm gonna give it a shot. I used to be very slow at decision making.
I think the idea of perfection is sometimes the enemy of the good.
In my opinion, once you do that, you've failed.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. It's a podcast that's all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. And today I'm super stoked because I got my friend Ben Murphy on the podcast today. Ben,
Thanks, first thing I gotta say is
happy birthday.
Thank you.
he agrees to do a podcast recording on his birthday.
Well, yeah, it's a great birthday.
Oh man.
It's great to do it on the birthday, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, man. It's an honor. A little bit of the background of Ben, and you can help me fill some of this in for our audience. Ben, you've been in real estate now how many years?
I got licensed pretty much 5 years ago. Exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're crushing it. Mm-hmm. You have just joined teams, so to speak, right? This is pretty brand new.
Yeah. We literally just announced it on Monday and it's Friday. So we've been operating together as a group for close to a month now, but it's very fresh to the public as of 4 days ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's called?
It is called One Roof Real Estate Group.
One Roof Real Estate Group. Mm-hmm. So I got to say, if you're not going to use Zastro Family, you should use One Roof. I just got to say, you guys are
that amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are crushing it. And we're now with the same brokerage. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dale.
Couple years in the making, but we finally did it.
Love it, man. Love it. And as if you didn't have enough going on in life, you just told me your wife is out of town on some cool fitness thing, and you got the kiddos. You're just crushing it this week, and you've got multiple accepted offers going on, and you still took the time on your birthday to join me for a podcast.
Yes, sir. Couldn't miss it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so
to
the topic today, this is great because you've got all this stuff going on in life. And here's what I've kind of discovered. A lot of us guys, we're busy. Man, we're busy. And it's not bad to be busy, but it can feel overwhelming. It can seem bad certain times. And so the topic kind of theme would be the myth of work-life balance. And so I wanted to ask you, what's the biggest challenge that you've faced as a young entrepreneur, as with a growing business, it's crushing it, but also a growing family. You're an amazing dad. You're an awesome husband. You're a Christian. You're involved with church. You've got other things that you take your fitness very seriously. Ben, you couldn't possibly add more to your plate. So how do you do it? First of all, let's talk about what's the biggest challenge in all of that.
Yeah, I mean, you're making me sound like a rock star just hearing you talk about it. And what I would tell people is like, that is the highlight reel for sure. But by no means am I a perfect person. I have struggles all the time of just like managing my time well, quote unquote, balancing things like we're talking here, and keeping my energy up and like just staying passionate and driven. And, you know, there's some days where I'm like, man, I don't want to do anything, but you get up and you do it anyways, right? So the biggest challenge I would say is like prioritizing. Sometimes I'll allow my business to be like my one priority when there's so much other things in my life. Like, you know, the one thing I say is like, you know, I operate off of four pillars, which is faith, family, fitness, and finance, which finance is the business part of my life.
Yeah.
And I try and do it in that order, right? But sometimes, and a lot of time lately, it's like finance has been the first thing. Like I wake up and I'm working, and I'm before I go to sleep, I'm working. Like my wife out of town this week, I've been working until I put the girls to bed around 8, and I'm working until like 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'll make an excuse and say I have so much to get done that I have to, which I know I don't have to. Last night I kind of allowed myself to relax a little bit. So yeah, biggest challenge, prioritizing properly and not always putting work first, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you do that though? How do you turn it off because I mean, work is always there. There's always something that can be done, especially in real estate.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Like, if being in real estate, like, we can always be on. And I have done that before. In the 5 years that I've done this, which there was a like kind of a 1 year hiatus of doing another business venture, but we won't dive into that. In my time of doing this, like last year at this time, I was always on. I never turned off. And then I experienced like some major burnout. Last year I did 51 transactions. This year I think I'll probably do the same, if not a little bit more. But last year I was on my own doing everything myself constantly. Like, I don't think I slept between May and June. It was just nonstop and I didn't have any help. And I did it to myself, really. So you can always be on. So this year I now have the team, and recently have the team. But previously, I had some other stuff that I leveraged off, like in transactions and everything, to be able to turn off a little bit. But also just making the conscious effort to, last night I got home and I was like, I could work tonight, but I'm just going to chill. And I had put the girls to bed at 8, had some dinner, just kind of like relaxed, and I wasn't on my computer. So I hope that answers that.
You just chilled and chose in that moment to not get caught up in the emails.
Yeah, it's a choice. Text,
stuff right? like that.
And that's like, last year I was choosing to not ever turn off.
Right.
But I know what happens when you don't turn off. I know that you burn out, and I don't want to experience that. And this week, and the reason I had to like just stop last night was because I started getting that feeling. It was creeping back in of like, burnout, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna let this happen. And I take the night off, reset a little bit, and then I can go in strong for tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well done, by the way. That's like, a lot of guys don't want to admit it, but what you said is quite simply, it's a choice. It is a choice. I don't like to admit it sometimes when I'm busy. No, I don't have a choice because these things need to get done. How did you come to peace with that choice, Ben? Like,
I actually said it out loud last night. I said to myself, everything's going to be okay, and the work will be there for you tomorrow morning. And I kind of just made a plan for myself. Like, I was going to get up early and get to the office early. Typically, I work out every morning, Monday through Friday, but I didn't work out this morning because I have a lot of stuff going on this afternoon that will be a little bit of physical labor. Nate and I are closing on a flip property, and we actually are electing to do a little bit of the demo this afternoon. So
demo is so fun.
Yeah, I know. That's the only thing that I'll do. but he's going to be closing on that in about 4 minutes here.
Cool.
And we'll be there this afternoon. So going to get some physical activity in there. But this morning, I was like, I know I'll get to the office early. I can get the work done. So just by saying out loud to myself last night, like, everything's going to be all right and you can work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because like we said before, the work will always be there. I just get to choose when I want to do it.
I like that you said it out loud. Sometimes we need that self-talk.
Yeah.
I mean, and we can get into that a little bit too. And I've talked on previous episodes with guys who have a prayer life, men of faith. And when you never say it out loud, you're missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be prayer. It could just sometimes be a solid word of wisdom or truth that you need your own two ears to hear it out loud sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you see it with guys with workouts too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I could think in my head to go attack this next workout, or I could say something to myself in that moment. It's high athletes that's do totally that all the me. Time. Mm-hmm. Self-talk, confidence, truth, just so your own two ears can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So helpful.
Yeah.
So you said it out loud in that moment. Yeah. I love that.
Last night I just felt it inside me to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you were saying before with like prayer, a lot of times like when I'm praying in the morning, I'm actually like, you know, I'm not talking at this level, but I'm kind of like whispering to myself in our sunroom, just praying, because I feel like when I'm not, like, my mind is so busy that if I'm not like focusing on speaking it all, and I'm just praying in my head, I'll have a bunch of other thoughts flowing through me at the same time. And like, I want that to be focused time with God, where I'm speaking to him and not just thinking to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Super powerful. That's a great takeaway. So do you time block then to help you manage all your workout? Like, is that something you would treat your morning workout as an appointment?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's like, oh, Ben, super important conversation, we need to grab coffee at 6 a.m. How would you handle that? Like, well,
I work out. I would be like, absolutely not. But there will be certain things that I can flex my time for. Like, you know, I didn't get to make it this week, but we have the men's Bible study monthly at Realty Executives. And yep. That's typically at 6:30 in the morning. I couldn't go this week because I and my daughter's with me. But that's something where I'm like, you know, that's once a month. That's typically when I work out, but I can always work out earlier if needed.
Yeah.
I like to get to the gym about 6:30 and work out till 7:30. That's what it is on my calendar every day. Do I time block? Yes. Do I follow my time block to a perfect T? Not always.
Yeah, you
like my calendar starts at 5 a.m. It says wake up / time with God. And that goes from 5 to 6. But I won't lie. I'm not up every single day at 5 o'clock on the dot. Sometimes it's 5:30. But I've made it a goal and I'm working with, I have like a fitness health coach. And one of my goals is to be up 4 out of 5 days during the week at 5 a.m. So I'm not holding myself to a like absolute perfect standard, but also an attainable standard for now.
Yeah.
Just because I have struggled recently with like being up at 5 every day. Yeah. And part of the reason is because I've been staying up so late working. So if I just tell myself stop working and go to bed at a reasonable hour,
yeah,
then getting up at 5 shouldn't be a problem.
Amazing how that happens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yes, I time block. My mornings are like wake up, time with God, go to the gym, and then I come home, spend time, like it's on my calendar is like family time in the morning for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I even have it time blocked to when I should leave for the office and get to the office.
Nice. That's organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is time blocking. I love that. But mm-hmm. if something of high priority would come up, you can have some flexibility there. I was taught, and tell me what you think of this. Let's say you're coaching your kids little league or soccer or whatever, and it's every Monday through Friday or whatever from 3 to 4 in business.
Mm-hmm.
The script is, oh, sorry, I have an appointment at
right.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you do something like that?
Yeah.
Just
so,
to guard that? Because 99% of the people won't say, well, what's the appointment? Why? They'll
exactly.
respect.
They totally will.
Got it. Okay.
Most of the time, people don't ask me. Like Tuesdays, we didn't go this week. We haven't gone in a couple weeks. But Tiffany and I try and do like a date night every week. And we found Tuesdays to be a good day for us in the evenings. And like it's like every Tuesday, I have a client who says, hey, I'd like to meet for this, or I'd like to go see a house. Now, a lot of times I do work with one of the agents on my team to set up the showing so they can do it that evening. But, you know, if it's for anything else, I'll say, sorry, I have an appointment tonight. Because my date with my wife is the appointment. And if I cancel on her, oh, man, that's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So I definitely, like, treat those as priorities that, like, whenever I have family stuff scheduled, like, I won't be flexible on that if it comes to stuff for business. I'm not going to say, oh, Tiffany, I got a huge listing appointment opportunity tonight. I got to move our date. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell the potential client, I have a meeting. Let's meet Wednesday instead. And if they say no, well, then we're obviously not a good fit for each other. And I don't care if it's $1 million listing or not.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What other things do you do with Tiffany to make your marriage? Because I love your four pillars, by the way. Faith, family, fitness, finances. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the family.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with Tiffany and with your girls to make sure that that priority is honored?
Mm-hmm.
And how have you found success in that area?
Yeah.
Even if it's not perfect success.
Yeah, I was about to start saying, like, I can be very hard on myself. I think most of us are. I was going to say I'm not perfect when it comes to this. However, Tiffany and I typically try and spend some time in the morning together too.
Nice.
Like during like my Bible time and my prayer time, like Tiffany will be in the same room together. Sometimes like she'll go pray in another room and I'll be in the sunroom. But usually we try and like be together reading our Bible and then, you know, maybe talking a little bit about that, having coffee together in the morning. That's like a really big thing for her. She loves to do that. Like one of her favorite things is to just have her and I having coffee together. And then in the evenings, like our favorite room in our house is our sunroom. So we spend a lot of time there. So in the evenings after we put them, the kids to bed, like we'll go in there and, like have tea or just like relax, and just be together. So that's like, that's kind of how we've honored that. And then of course, including date night. And then with my girls, I've had a lot of good time with them this week. Where we'll play there. So for context, I have a almost four-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. Yeah. I don't want to say 3 and 1 cause they're just like so much older than that. but you know, just fitting in time, like I always shoot to be home by 5:30 PM. If for some reason I can't, because I have an appointment, like I do reserve some evenings for appointments. Usually it's the night that Tiffany's training at the gym. So if she's training Wednesday and Thursday night, I know I can fill my appointments in there. So that way I'm not skipping out on them being home. Because if they're home, I know they're just waiting for me. If it's after 5:30, they're like, all right, like, are we going to eat dinner at a reasonable time? All that. Yeah. So if I know Tiffany's training on certain nights, I'll book appointments for those nights. And then if I know like Monday, Tuesday, Friday, she's not going to be training those nights, I'm going to try my best to be home at, you know, 5 if I can, 5:30 at the latest.
Yeah.
Because my girls, now they go to bed a little bit later, around 8. But it used to be like 7:30. And if I would get home at 6:30, I'd have like 30 minutes with them. And that just felt like
right.
I was missing out on their lives, the short lives that they've lived so far.
Right.
But I went through, and I know we're not going to have time to go very deep into this today, but I went through a 3-day experience with a group called Rise Up Kings, mm-hmm. and it really shifted my perspectives on a lot of my priorities. And I've went through some major changes this year, and that big change was that I would tell Tiffany, "Hey, I'm going to be home at 5 tonight," and then I show up at like 6:30, or just like small examples like that. I wasn't being a man of my word.
Right.
And I went through this one experience down there that I really was thinking about all that. And, you know, I could go through my entire life and not even be aware that I was doing that. And then, you know, I get to the end of my life and, you know, I wrote this like eulogy in a sense, saying for myself, and I'm all over the place with this, but basically, from the perspective of my wife, if I never made any changes in my life. And, you know, it said something along the lines of like, Ben was a really hard worker, but he was never there when he said he was going to be there. And I just got chills from saying that because it brought me back to that moment. I was in tears writing this thing because I realized I wasn't being a man of my word. And I know that's so small, but not showing up at 5 when I say that I'm going to be there and just knowing that like my kids and my wife are just waiting for me. And like, they knew I was working all day and she respects that. But the time that I have reserved for them just being stripped away, cause I didn't care about being home when I said I was going to be home.
Mm-hmm.
So,
whoa.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was in January.
Experience. That mm-hmm. was last January.
Yeah. Yeah. This past January. So wow. About 6 months ago. Yeah.
It mm-hmm. sounds like an exercise anybody could do, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Any of our listeners,
mm-hmm.
husbands, fathers.
Yeah, the experience was incredible. Like I'm not somebody who believes that you go to something and you're automatically changed. So like I'm still changing every single day, trying to be better every day. I'm not perfect. There's days that I slip back, and I told Tiff I was going to be home at 5:30, and it was 5:45. But I'm aware of it now.
Yeah.
Where before didn't mean anything to me.
Let me just take a quick minute and give a huge shout out to our sponsors. Without them, the show is not possible. We've got 5 sponsors, local businesses in the Milwaukee area that support Forging the Path podcast, and I could not thank you enough. So a huge shout out to Matt Austin, Goosehead Insurance. Over 20 years of experience, Matt specializes in providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and Medicare insurance needs. As an independent agent, he offers a wide variety of policy options, and you need to check him out. It's tailored to fit any unique situation that you might have. His dedicated team will ensure that you have the best protection and at competitive rates. His number is 414-260-2202. Give him a call or a text. Secondly, I want to give a shout out to S2F Installations. For all of you managers, engineers, facilities, maintenance people out there, if you are in need of material handling equipment for your warehouse to better manage your warehouse, call my friend Ray at S2F Installation. He can help guide you in the right direction. Total company designed to serve people. His number is 262-470-6882. Phantom Creek Builders. Thank you, Phantom Creek Builders. If it's time to remodel your kitchen, your bathroom, or your basement, all three, kitchen, bathroom, basement, if there's a transformation needed in any one of those areas, then you need to check out Phantom Creek Builders. They're based in the area, and they specialize in these things, and my dad is the owner. So show them some love. The best way to reach out to them, just go look them up online, phantomcreekbuilders.com. Another shout out to Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. My wife and I work with Michael all the time. There's no one better. The Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans always goes above and beyond to take care of every one of their clients. They treat each transaction like it's the largest transaction of your life, because that's what every homeowner deserves. So whether you're looking to buy or just maybe refinance, reach out to the Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. To get the conversation started, you can call or text them at 262-696-9048. And then last, but certainly not least, Zastro Family Real Estate, powered by Realty Executives Integrity. If you're in need of a real estate advisor in Wisconsin, look no further than Zastro Family Real Estate. This is what me and my wife do. It's our day jobs. We love helping, advising, and guiding people through real estate, helping them reach their goals and build wealth in real estate. So call us, text us, or you can look us up online, Zastro Family Real Estate. The number to reach us is 262-725-2855. Also, all of these sponsors are listed on our website, forgingthepath.org. Go check them out. Show them some love. Now back to the show. Well, that's in keeping with the whole myth of work-life balance. One of them is that balance is such a settled word. Mm-hmm. I'm balanced. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. If you're still breathing, you're in process. It's mm-hmm. a journey, not a destination. So it's more like balancing.
Yeah.
Oh, I went a little bit here. Oh, I'm bringing it back. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're growing and you're moving forward, and maybe you're failing, but you're failing forward and you're getting mm-hmm. back up and you're learning from your mistakes, and you're honest with the most important person in your life, which is your wife, mm-hmm. about those mistakes and about how you want to get better. Like that's a beautiful thing. And mm-hmm. so work-life balance, it's active, it's balancing, it's getting a little bit better than you were yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue as long as you're alive, mm-hmm. right? And the other myth of balance I would address is this. Sometimes we think work-life balance means if I spend 40 to 50 hours a week working, I should spend 40 to 50 hours a week with my family. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck. Where are you going to find that time? Yeah.
Like, I guess you won't sleep.
You're not going to sleep then, right? Like, what does balance look like for you as you're learning? I mean, I just know mm-hmm. you're still in process, and you talked about a great book that I would recommend to anybody listening called Off Balance mm-hmm. by Matthew Kelly that you've started.
Yeah.
And has been recommended by a mentor to both of us. Mm-hmm. But what are you learning about that whole concept of balance, work-life balance? Is there something you previously thought about it that now you're realizing that's not quite right?
Right. So speaking of that book, like, yeah, I'm in the beginning of it, but it does open with talking about like how work-life balance isn't really real. It was just kind of like this this word that was created in the early 2000s, and then big corporations just like sunk their teeth into it, and then everybody was looking for work-life balance. But I saw something, some statistic, I can't remember exactly what it was, but essentially it was saying that the perception of work-life balance has gone down since people have started talking about having work-life balance.
Uh-huh.
So they're having less work-life balance the more that they're thinking about it, which is kind of an oxymoron, right? Yeah. So it talked about having satisfaction in your work and in your life. And that's something, even though I just started it, is that I'm more so focusing on. So getting through my day of work and being satisfied with the work that I did. If I'm not satisfied with it, probably means that I just didn't work hard enough, or I guess I could say efficiently enough that day, where I allowed, you know, something to take up too much of my time. I didn't get this done, so now I'm unsatisfied. But if you allow that unsatisfaction to pour, to continue and pour into the next section of going home, then you're going to feel unsatisfied with your home life. So I always want to make sure that I'm satisfied with the work that I did that day, and, you know, remind myself that there's still more work that can be done tomorrow and that I can get to it tomorrow. So that way I can be in like a satisfied mode while I'm at home, and I'm not going home thinking, oh, I, you know, I worked too long today, or I didn't work hard enough today. Just being okay with there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not promised it, but, you know, if we wake up tomorrow, I'll be able to work and then do this all over again. And that way I can be at home and be satisfied with everything else that's going on. So in finding balance, it's more so for me just like going through daily reminders to be like, did I spend time in God's word? Did I pray today? Did I like acknowledge my wife? Did I thank her? Did I tell her I was grateful for her? Did I show her love? Did I show my kids love? Mm-hmm. Did I work out today? What's my nutrition look like today? Have I accomplished what I needed to on my calendar today? And did I learn something new today?
You have all of that like written out?
Mm-hmm. Not written out, but so I have an app that I can check these things off. So, and I know checking a box makes it seem like maybe that it's just like less genuine, or just like I'm just going through the motion checking these boxes. But sure, you can make it that way, but I'm making a conscious effort. And if I didn't accomplish a certain thing, like I won't mark the box that day. So I want to, like I have that checklist just to make sure that I'm staying in check. And if I go through a whole day and I didn't check a single thing, well, I can look back on that day and be like, what did I actually accomplish today?
Yeah. Well, I like that because some guys might not like that approach.
Mm-hmm.
Respect. That's fine. It doesn't have to be a one size fits all.
Right.
But here's what I think is really cool and powerful about what you're doing. Because if you aim at nothing, you will hit it with amazing accuracy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So at least, at the very least, you're aiming at a handful of really important core things that you can look at objectively at the end of your day and say, yes or no, did I do that or did I not?
Mm-hmm.
And why? So that's awesome. A lot of guys don't even have that in their life. And some of them are, you know, they've got a lot of things going on. They have businesses, they have sales, they have a family, they have hobbies and extracurriculars. And so this is really important. You have to have some sort of plan. The cool thing about having a plan also is that, like you said earlier, you can be flexible with it once in a while. I know this person who's been in real estate 50 years. She's just a legend out in the Lake Country area. But her prayer every day, she had the old planners you'd write in.
Mm-hmm.
And her prayer every day was, here are my plans, God. I've got these showings, these appointments. I got the listing at 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. listing appointment. But Lord, my day's yours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have surprises for me or unexpected turns, divine appointments, I'm all yours.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, I'm paraphrasing, but that's a prayer with a plan.
Yeah.
And to hold it loosely, but still like, I know what I'm doing. I know what my goals are. But God, at the end of the day, you know, you have me bump into that previous client from 2 years ago and the chatter gets going. She knew, like, that's just life sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm open to those things.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm all yours. That's a beautiful approach that incorporates the plan, but also a flexibility to it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about fitness for you, because that's a really big, that's the third F. And you and I are both into fitness.
Mm-hmm.
What has that looked like for you lately? And include some of the nutrition things too there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of guys that are working really hard, but they're neglecting the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, please elaborate. I mean,
right now, I'm not in like my peak level of fitness that I want to be in. You know, I'm striving for greater, but I think we're always striving for being better in every aspect of our life. So I, used to do a lot of CrossFit. Like, I was big into that. Then I had a wrist injury a while back that kind of held me from doing some of those movements. And I was like, I don't want to continue to get injured, so I'm going to figure something else out. So I started a different program, and it's just like functional fitness. So barbell work, dumbbell, kettlebell work, that kind of stuff. I'm more of like, I like to lift weights, and I don't love the cardio aspect, which
cardio sucks.
Since I stopped CrossFit though, I know that I need to get more of the higher intensity, level of fitness back, where heart rate's getting up more to, like get more into like maybe zone two to keep the fat burning going. 'Cause right now, like my heart rate, I think it averages around like 120 to 130 while I'm working out, because I'm really just lifting weights. There is like when I'm doing heavy squats, it'll jack up because, you know, that's a lot of tension and a lot of weight that you're moving. So my heart rate will get jacked up there. But I'm actually transitioning into something different right now that's going to be a little bit more, it's still going to be on the functional fitness, but a little bit more higher intensity. And I'm working with a coach for that. And I've had different types of coaches before. I've had a business coach, business/life. And then this is more just going to be on like the health and fitness side of things. Mm-hmm. So accountability on like what I'm working out, like what my workouts have been. Did I work out that day? Did I wake up when I said I was going to wake up? And then also with the nutrition. So I over the last month, I haven't followed it super closely, but previously this year I was doing macro counting, just like, you know, counting your carbs, fats, and protein every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm more so getting into with this, this nutrition fitness coach is like still macro counting, but like more protein focused rather than like worrying about every carb and every gram of fat that I'm taking in. It's more just like hit my 200 grams of protein. And as long as I'm focusing on that while eating relatively clean, right? Like I can't be like, oh, I'm going to hit my 200 grams of protein by going to Shake Shack today. Like, sure, you can have like some cheat meals in there, but it's more so going to be, you know, what I've already done in the past, but just really focusing on like, all right, I'm having chicken. Am I having enough in this meal? You know, am I having at least 50 grams of protein at each meal? Yeah. And as I do that, that's going to help me keep the muscle on. But I am going to start focusing on trimming down that waistline a little bit more right now.
I got you. Yeah. It's 200 grams of protein. A lot of guys would say that's almost impossible. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I very much think guys our weight should probably be 180 to 200 daily.
Yeah, and I was at like 185 to 190 when I was previously tracking on my own, but this coach wants me to do 200, you know. So I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to follow the process. That's something that like every time in my life, if there's a proven process that's working for people, I'm going to give it a shot. And if that works for me, great. If I need to tweak it, I'm open to tweaking. I'm a firm believer in executing and making adjustments along the way rather than me trying to find every little thing that's going to be perfect for me and never actually doing it. I used to be a planner that was like, let's get this perfect and then roll it out. And now I'm like, I don't care how it rolls out. Let's get it out and then we'll adjust
along the way. You can always modify it along the way.
So if I'm doing 200 grams of protein and that's not working for me, I can make the tweaks from there.
Yeah.
But I actually think 200 grams of protein is like not too difficult to eat. If you're like having, you know, meat or something at every meal, even like in the morning, I have two scoops of protein and eggs. That's like well over 50 to 60, maybe even 70 grams of protein.
Oh yeah.
I've had days where I'm like struggling to stay under, but so that's, it's always easy for me to hit the protein and the fat. Like my gosh, I could hit the fat in a couple meals. The carbs is what I've struggled with. Like hitting this new nutrition coach is going to have me take less, but I was having like 300 grams of carbs a day and that was so hard to hit. That's a lot of food.
Yeah.
So the protein, no problem.
It's so funny. I think a lot of our problems with men and the masculine in our society, can be tied to nutrition and mm-hmm. exercise.
Totally.
Some guys really struggle with depression that mm-hmm. I know. My question is, dude, have you at least gotten outside on a walk today?
Yeah.
Like minimum. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you've been sitting at your cubicle or at your desk staring at a screen,
yeah.
spreadsheets all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd be depressed too. Are you kidding me? For sure.
Yeah, I'm at a desk pretty often myself, but like I walk around our building like yeah. multiple times a day. Like I'll just get up and say, I got to go walk for 10 minutes or like after I eat lunch, I'll go on a, like a 20-30 minute walk outside the building. It's been really nice lately to do that.
Yeah.
But I think like to your point of like feeling depression, like I've gone through, I'm sure most people have felt depressed in their lives. And I've had that happen too. And then I look at like, what was I doing when I felt those?
Yeah.
Usually like my workouts weren't consistent. My hydration wasn't consistent. My nutrition looked like crap. Like I'd go to Culver's and eat a bunch of crappy food and then go to sleep. Like, yeah, no wonder you wake up feeling like garbage because yeah. you filled your body with garbage. But if you're drinking water, and I always start my morning with electrolytes too. So I start with, and coffee. I'm always drinking coffee. That's one of my downfalls. electrolytes in the morning, and I drink a gallon of water every day. And if you just do that and eat, you know, you don't have to be perfect with your eating, and then move your body, like, you're going to feel great.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be hard to get depressed when you're just feeling
that way. Just those small, you're right. You're mm-hmm. so right. I went to college with a guy who later became a psychologist, and he shares his story with me. While we were in college, he's depressed. Mm-hmm. And he actually, one of the few men I've ever heard of, anorexic. He just struggled. He struggled with a whole host of things. But he knew it, and he was a Christian dude. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm depressed. Like, studies are hard. Exams are coming to whatever. And he's like, I'm just going to go in the park, and I'm going to read my Bible and pray because that's what will beat this depression. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it. And just like 50 yards away, guys are playing full court basketball, mm-hmm. which he grew up loving.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's getting mad. He's like, oh, this is so distracting, these guys. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to, God, come on. I'm trying to like get rid of my yeah. depression and pray. And
I'm pretty sure that's God in your face saying, it go is. Play basketball, dude.
He did. He did. So after being upset and angry about it for a little while, he closed his Bible, left his book bag there, and he went and played full court basketball for an hour and worked up a flop sweat on a beautiful spring day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, funny thing, like I walked away feeling amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I realized it had been weeks, maybe longer, since I really worked up a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he started incorporating high intensity exercise into, you know, his regular day to day. That stuff is real. Your nutrition, your exercise, your hydration, all of that can affect your emotions, your mind space,
mm-hmm.
way more than we give credit to sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that you got that going on in your routine.
And to that one point, like where, you know, your friend, I'm going to go read my Bible and pray. And like, yeah, that's great to do. And, you know, God wants that, but he also wants you to take care of yourself. He's not just going to say, hey, you prayed, I'm going to make you feel better now, right. right? Like, no, you have to, like, we have free will to take care of ourselves, and we have the power to make ourselves feel good,
yep.
at least in my opinion.
Yeah,
so.
And I think it's the responsibility of every man
mm-hmm.
to do that. Like, see, what's the fullest, healthiest, and best potential your body can give you, your physical body can mm-hmm. give you? Why not? It's a gift. He gave it to you. It's a gift from God.
Yeah.
So if your thing is weightlifting, how heavy can you lift, bro? Mm-hmm. Like, right? If your mm-hmm. thing is running, get in that 5K. So mm-hmm. can you beat your PR? Like,
right.
let's go, man. Game mm-hmm. on. I think God wired men to be that way. And some of what I'm seeing now in society is like, we're stiff-arming that. Like, no, mm-hmm. no, that's competition is, are you kidding me? Being ambitious?
Yeah.
Your business too. Like, what can you do with the gifts God gave you? How mm-hmm. big can you build your business?
Yeah.
How many, or phrase it this way. How many people can your business bless?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Like, he didn't give you these gifts to just sit on the sideline and play the humble card, which is really
right.
not being humble at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you do that. What advice would you give to guys right now who, let's just talk real quick about the financials. What have you learned as a young entrepreneur and as a Christian man good, healthy, wise choices with finances and with business. Anything you got for our audience in those areas?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, when it comes to business like advice, I would say right now I recently got into, you know, our team. We created that. We started our new venture. I would say actually just go for it. Hmm. You know, if you've been thinking about doing something, just do it. It took me a couple years. It took Nate and I a couple years to figure out how we were going to partner together. You know, we've attempted it in the past and we were just found ourselves being in the same role, doing the same exact thing, and it just didn't make sense. And then we found our path of, like, it was like a light bulb went off and we're like, what if we did it this way? And in the past, we've taken, like, if we were ever going to do this, it'd be slow moving. We'd be trying to plan things out. And, you know, then you just eventually don't get there because right. Time kills all deals. So we just went for it. We were like, this is the idea. Here's the basic plan to get started. We'll figure out everything else along the way and let's execute. So we did that. And I mean, we're a month in and I know not everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. We both know that. We're in business. Business is intense and, you know, we're going to war. So we're really excited. But we've already come across like many challenges that we've just worked through. And Nate and I, we've known each other since we were kids and been working together for a long time. So
shout out to Nate.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. So we figured it out and we, instead of saying, all right, let's do a 10-week plan on how we're going to do this, this, and this, and then we'll figure out a way to move forward. We said, this is what we're doing. And within that same week, we had everything in place.
Mm.
Literally everything was done and we started operating. So it was that Monday. By that Friday, we were a full-fledged new company. So it was, I used to, like I was saying before, like I used to be very slow at decision-making. And sometimes I think that I was slow at decision-making because it wasn't the right way if I were to make the decision and move forward. And I've also had it where I made a decision and I'm like, well, that wasn't right. So let's quickly change course. So this year has been a lot of that, where in years past I would take forever to make decisions. So make quick decisions, go for it, and you know, figure it out along the way. Make your adjustments. If you never do it, you're never going to change anything. And in my opinion, once you do that, you've failed.
Come on, that's good. That's going to be a short. That was awesome, yeah, right. Dude. That was so awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you can't, like, I love that because so many guys that I love dearly. And I see, I either know them well or know them from afar, from 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, they get that paralysis analysis. And a lot of it stems from this idea of like, well, I want it to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I want it to be, and I think the idea of perfection is sometimes the enemy of the good.
Absolutely.
Get the idea of being perfect out of your head. And, yeah. And like Dale has taught us many times, it's better to do something poorly than not at all.
Right.
You can always get better as you go, and you can't steer a parked car. Get some momentum, get some movement going, and then you can make those course corrections. But sometimes we want God to give us like, give me the vision, the complete, the finalized perfect thing. And then I'll step out in faith.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly.
That's not how it works. You step out in faith first.
I've had it where I'm like, I'm going to pray about this and pray about this, and I'm like, oh, I'm not hearing anything. And sometimes it's not like God's going to be like, yep, go do this. This is exactly what you need to do. Sometimes you just have to do it, and then you'll get confirmation whether it was the right thing or. And I don't even want to say it's the wrong thing. Maybe it's just like maybe you were actually supposed to turn right instead of turning left. So you can always go the other way.
That's right.
But if we wait around to hear God say, yes, this is, how'd you know? This is what I planned for you. Like, no, that's not how it works. And sometimes maybe that is the case. But in my experience, it's pray about it and also make the decisions along the way.
Yeah. And pray as you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine too. Like you don't just, yeah, I love that. Sometimes we want the finalized perfect thing of something, and then okay, now I'll actually do it. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. No, be ambitious, take a chance, step out in faith. Yeah. Yes, pray about it, and then continue praying about it as you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you were to talk to me a couple of years ago, that answer probably would have been different, because I was the guy who had analysis paralysis. I noticed like things weren't getting done, and it was because of me. It was because I wasn't making the decision fast enough. Even earlier this year, I was debating on hiring someone, and I couldn't make the decision, and then the opportunity went away. Now, I later learned that it was because other things were happening and in the works that I hadn't seen yet, which led us to forming this new venture. And sometimes that's the answer, too, is like I didn't make that decision because it wasn't the decision for me to move forward with. So sometimes things will just, you know, happen as well because it wasn't the right thing for you to happen, even if you thought that was the way that it was supposed to go.
Right, right. Oh, man, that's so awesome. I'm so glad you said that. Tell us, as we kind of finish this episode, tell us about your podcast, because you have an awesome podcast that's pretty new as well. It's only a couple months, I think.
Yeah, I think we're about 6 episodes in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the idea earlier this year to start one, and I was kind of in that part of like, well, what's it going to be about? What are we going to call it? Trying to plan it all perfectly, and I was like, we don't need to plan it. Let's just start shooting. So I found guests. We brought people on, and mine, I feel, was more based on like the pillars that I discussed. It wasn't always like we'd have a guest to talk about faith, family, fitness, and finance. Sometimes it was, you know, just a real estate podcast. But like episode with, like my first episode with John Warren, shout out, one of my favorite lenders.
Love John.
We talked about real estate, and it was our first episode. So part of it is a little cringy, so bear with it. But we also talked about his life, his family, all of that. So like my podcasts were never just like, here's how, here's what a lender thinks about interest rates. It's like, here's a lender, but here's a person.
Yep.
And I always like to focus on the person, not their career. I had a military recruiter. He's a very intense guy. But we talked a lot about his life too, not just about military recruiting. So mine was always people focused and like, what, tell us about you. Don't just tell us about what you do.
Yeah. So where can people find that? What's it called? Where can people find
the podcast? Yeah, so it's called The Ben Murphy Show because we never came up with an official name
for it. It's a great name.
So that's it for now. Maybe that will change in the future. Mm-hmm. That's on YouTube. I'm pretty sure we're on anywhere you can listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, nice, whatever else the team has. And then I'm on Instagram. You'll find a lot of our shorts there in the reels for the podcast. It's at Ben Murphy Realty.
Yeah.
And then I'm on Facebook too. The team created a TikTok for me that I don't really use, but we have some stuff on there too.
All the channels, just everywhere.
Yeah, I never got into TikTok because just, I don't know. I have the other
socials. You're almost 30 now.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm older. 29. So.
You're still in your 20s, barely, for one more year.
One more year.
Yeah, so I would just encourage our audience, you should go check out Ben Murphy on any of the channels that he mentioned. Give him a 5-star review, spread the word. If you like it, share it with your friends, share it with your family, because Ben is a guy who has his values in the right place, and you'll be blessed by the show. So go check out the Ben Murphy Show. And Ben, with that, I just want to say a heartfelt thank you.
Thanks,
thank you
bro.
So much for being a guest on the show today.
Appreciate you having me.
Awesome.